Hello, everyone. This is Delaney, your host of the Nonprofit Hub Radio podcast. Before we begin the podcast, I just wanted to take a minute to announce that this episode is my final episode as your host of the Nonprofit Hub Radio podcast. I've decided to accept a new opportunity outside of the organization, still working to help nonprofits thrive. So although I won't get the pleasure of talking with you anymore, the Nonprofit Hub Radio podcast will continue on with a new host. Thank you for the opportunity to share season 4 with you. Stay nonprofit proud.
Did you know Nonprofit Hub offers a variety of courses and certification trainings inside of their membership platform called Cause Network? All courses and certificates include a full free year of membership to access 365 days of learning and networking to further your career and to make the difference in your organization. Visit nonprofithub.org/courses to see the full list of on-demand courses and sign up for a course today. That's nonprofithub.org/courses.
Hello, Nonprofit Hub. This is Delaney Mullinex, the host of the Nonprofit Hub Radio podcast. I was joined by James Thorne. He is the founder of Quirk Growth. And in this episode, we talk about how to find lasting new donors. Quirk Growth has actually developed the Lasting Donor Locator book. And at the end of this episode, you guys will get a code for 50% off of that book. So make sure you stay tuned to take advantage of that. But James has a passion for helping nonprofits connect with donors in non-traditional ways to fundraising, including things like sweepstakes. So this is a really fun conversation. Stay tuned. Welcome, James. It's awesome to have you here.
Thank you, Delaney. I appreciate it. I'm excited.
Well, why don't we kick off by just having you introduce yourself and telling our listeners your background and experience in the nonprofit sector.
Yeah, that's awesome. So James Thorne, Quirk Growth, my team, we're all remote. We love helping people crack the code of finding long-term donors. I originally, actually right out of high school, started working with a group that we went into high school, middle school campuses, and I had to raise my own support, right? So I had to go and fundraise. I did that for about 3.5 years and had to craft my message and work on how to draw people in so they would fund me personally. And then I ended up joining staff at a church and worked for 2 big churches in DFW, helping in media and communications and aligning with them, finding people to get them in the doors. We had multiple campuses, a bigger church, and I did that for about 10 years before launching out and starting my own business. And there were a couple of nonprofits that had launched out of that church that I was very excited about supporting, helping them get going. So I also took the leap and started building a team, really supporting nonprofits. We do have some church work, but mainly nonprofits, with them fundraising, helping them identify the right donors, and then helping retain those donors.
How much has fundraising changed since you were doing it for 10 years with that church?
That's a great question. Yeah, I would say there's some that hasn't changed, right? I think there's still some things that I'm like, wow, we're still doing this. We're still in this same way. And then I think that obviously as technology has grown, people are really testing different models on ways to fundraise. And that's what we've been excited about too with our company, is finding different ways, non-traditional ways to get people into fundraising that may not be, you know, an event or a huge gala or even into beer. And a lot of things that we do are digital, but we're finding those ways to make different connections with the audience that may not know who you are or are out there and they're the right person. They just don't know you exist.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that I definitely want to talk about, to your point about like, what are the biggest challenges in fundraising today? And I think sometimes we had this conversation at Cause Camp, which is a national nonprofit conference that we organize. And someone's answer to that question was, I think that some nonprofits are so focused on like all of these new like technologies and these new like upcoming ways to fundraise that they forget to do the traditional ones well.
That's good.
So it's not like an either or, you know, situation. Right. It's like you need to find like a balance. So I'm like super curious about your thoughts on that too. But I mean, what are some of the common challenges that nonprofits are facing when they're attracting new donors? And how do you specifically help them overcome those?
No, that's great. Yeah, to your point, I think just harping on the both sides, traditional, non-traditional, there are some really, and I would say we're not even the best at the non-traditional side. We're really coming in, we're trying to partner with people that are. because we've only been in the space for 5 years. Mm-hmm. But I would say that if you're not talking to the donors that are supporting you, getting advice, finding out from them ways that they want to be a part, yeah. new ways that are out there, getting them involved, I think is one of the best ways we've found the best types of non-traditional things to go after, because they get excited about it versus you just saying, we're going to try something and test it and see what our donors think. Right. Bringing them a part of the journey, I think, is helpful, especially if you do have a long term base of donors that have been a part of what you're doing. Problems we run into, because we work with a lot of smaller startup, smaller groups. It's really my heart and passion anyways, is to help them get up to a place where they can be supported on their own, financially stable. And with the groups that we work with, a lot of times it is just identifying, really knowing who the donor is, who's the type of donor that you're bringing in. And we spend a lot of time helping them first pull that out and say, okay, this is what you're doing. This is the type of donors that are the best support you. And they may only have 100 people that have donated, right? Or they may have had, or maybe there's a base of best 100 donors that have supported them. Yeah. We're then finding those, okay, great. This is the type of donor that best supports you. Let's make sure that you can communicate to them in a way that's very clear. And it's a repeatable framework for your team so that you know exactly what you're saying. And then we go through all the foundations, right? Your website, your email. A lot of people think at first that we're just a marketing agency. And I guess you could identify us as that, but we're really helping first try to figure out who in the world the donor is, and then make sure that everything that you're doing communicates to them clearly, and that we're actually telling more of the donor's story than we are their story, inviting them into this journey so that they'll want to be a part.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think there's a lot of, you know, marketing agencies who are trying to set themselves apart by understanding that, like, we quantify, like, right, you said, like, you have 100 ideal donors, or these are you had 2 donors do this and 2 are on your monthly giving program. But like the marketing agencies that are saying, okay, like you're saying 2 donors, but we understand that those are 2 people, like 2 human beings, like gave to you. Let's try to understand those 2 human beings.
Right.
And so I think that's.
And we have for-profit companies that come to us because of relationship. And it's the same process that we're going through, is that most people aren't actually calling and talking to them. Mm-hmm. Right? The people that are selling products, or you're just getting donations, you're not actually calling them and talking to them. Call them, ask them the right questions to figure out why they gave you in the first place. What is it about you that made the difference? You know, why are they continuing to give? A lot of people just, they love to assume and make, you know, oh, well, we believe this, or we see this, and we've seen this trend, and we're watching this data. Nothing wrong with data, but I think the best data is just calling someone on the phone and asking a couple questions. And you can do that 100 times and get probably the best data you could possibly have to feed into how you communicate.
Right. Yeah. So we kind of briefly mentioned at the beginning that the cost of securing a new donor is significantly higher than trying to retain one. Do you have any stats on that before we...
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. I would say we still do not like ad spend in general, spending ads, doing things, like, we don't like doing it. We do it, but where we've seen the biggest return, if I was going to give you any side of statistics, is there's probably about a 30 to 40% return we see on web pages that we're building that are saying the right things, right? Versus what they were getting before. So I'm just taking data from, say, hey, this is, you're either getting a donation or getting to take some sort of action, right?
Yeah.
From what you had before to now what you're saying, and for, like, we're getting more conversions that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it could be they were only getting 5 before and now they're getting X amount, or they were getting 100 before, right? So I tell people a lot, if there, however many people you have landing on your page today, we can help convert more of those, because we're already seeing that those wins. But it does take time. I think 90 days, 120 days to really try to identify things with the group to start seeing more wins that are in monthly donors, building a base. Because a lot of times that's kind of our stick too, is like, we want to help build a base of 1,000 donors that give $50 a month than a couple that give, you know, $50,000. That's the only data we probably really have that's been true to how we've built. And then once we've converted over all of their communication, that's probably what I would say.
Yeah. What has been your experience? I've heard a lot of people talking about monthly giving is like the future of giving. Do you see that being a generational thing? How is that different from when you were doing fundraising?
No, that's good. When I was doing Fundraising Monthly, it was still the win that you wanted to get monthly, right? You still kind of, that was kind of their thing too. It's like, great, we accept those one-time gifts. We're grateful for them. But if we can get them on monthly, then you can kind of see some longevity. I don't think that necessarily has changed too much outside of how many that you can bring in, even for a smaller amount.
And right? Were the asks happening like the same way? Were you trying to get them into a like digital subscription, or was it more of...
Yeah, at the time,
mail you something like once a month, or we're gonna...
Yeah, at the time they were signing up on a paper form, but they were allowing them to in their system do it monthly.
Okay.
Right. So they're filling out information, but they were doing it monthly at the time. But then, you know, there's also something to talk about too that could be a whole another conversation with when I was keeping up with them monthly with a written newsletter versus what people are doing digitally right now too. There's pros and cons on both sides, I think. But yeah, monthly donors in general, when we've tried to really identify maybe specifically to a product or resource, something that we can tie that to like a, you know, this is $10 a month. We're going to add value to you every month. I think nonprofits need to treat the same way that a for-profit would, you know, they're just solving problems and have a solution for those problems. You're doing the same way with donors. You're just identifying, you're solving their problem with being a generous person, giving back, being a part of something bigger. And you end up being the solution. You got to find ways to show them that you're the best solution. And a lot of people like hate the side of, you know, like, well, we're just smoozing these people to get them in, and we're just, yes, you are, like, there's millions of you out there. And I think we're just, as you can add the most value to these donors, then especially longevity for those donors.
Yeah. I think that there's a an organization called Fundraising Academy, and their whole point is that your cause selling, and they try to help like fundraisers become more comfortable with the fact that like they are essentially selling something. And I think like the word, like you use the word like smooth or whatever. But there's like that element of like woo that you have to have. And essentially like you're inspiring them to action.
Right.
So, like that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what are some strategies for creating this donor retention that we keep talking about?
Yeah, to keep them coming back. Yeah. So when we bring them in, we're really trying to tell more of the donor's story through the lens of what they're doing in the nonprofit. And then once they're in, we're sharing the wins every month in their inbox. And a lot of times we're automating the process. So we run into a lot of small groups that are, you know, they want to send out that monthly newsletter, right? And then it comes around on their list and they're like, oh, I don't have time to do this right now. Or I just don't have to share the things that just happened. Right. And it's like, oh, and they put it off. Right. And then 3 months later, like, oh, I haven't told my donors about what's been going on. Even if it's digital. And what we've done is we've come in and automated that process and say, hey, let's meet with 6 to 12 of your top donors. We're going to actually create 12 to 24 stories out of those meetings. And then we're going to automate a 12 to 24 month series that the day they're processing goes through for their donation is the same day they're getting an email. That is, so they're getting their receipt, right? Because they need that. But then they're also getting another email that is a story that's helped drawing them into the impact they're making. And I think everyone agrees with that, right? I think everyone's like, yeah, we got to share the impact, got to share. But how do you automate that, make that smoother process? We could do that with any group, but smaller groups are where we're seeing the wins on that because they just don't have the time. A lot of these people are one man show, or they've got a couple people on the team and they're just trying to make the day happen. And when that stuff comes by, they know it's important, but then the importance of their mission kind of precedes that.
Right. Do you have, again, like I just like love hearing like the significance of what you're saying. And you know, we've heard this before, and like even our listeners may have heard this before. I mean, because we're just constantly putting out you know, like all the latest research on these types of things, but the importance of having like a nurture or like this drip campaign, like the
right,
you know, it's like that drip campaign that happens like immediately when someone donates.
Right.
And I mean, just like the loss of that communication and like not having that is like worth the amount of time that you put into it. But I mean, like, again, like if we had the stats to share, it's like you could retain 60% more donors if you had this like nurturing, like welcome series campaign, like after they first donate.
That's a great question. That's something, I'll be honest, that's something we're building on our end to show the data that is coming from our wins, right? This probably been a year and a half that we've been successfully pulling off of those campaigns, right? We're about 5 years old. But there are some recent ones that we've done with a group that is a foster care, foster child placement group. And then one that is they're homeless, like they're working with the homeless to get them back on their feet. And we did two different things. We had them come in through either an email with some sort of resource, right? A download. We built out one group, 17 different emails that went over 6 different months.
Yeah.
And then the other group we did was only 7 emails. And we did that over a few months.
Okay.
We started seeing, I think, I can't remember which one was which, but almost half of the people that came in on one of the groups ended up donating, even if it was one time, right? They would jump in with a donation. And then once they came in and they started donating, even if it was one time, we saw a conversion of people that donated once, started seeing the wins monthly, because we would send out the wins monthly, regardless if they gave one time or monthly, right? We would just, they're going to get the wins now ongoing. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but so about half of the group came in and then they gave one time. And then after a couple months of seeing those wins, they started donating monthly. Right. So, and it was the same group that came in, right? It was the ones that came in from that win of the emails. So,
right.
A lot of the stuff we do are email based because we're seeing that as a huge win. And the ways that you say it, I thought some people are like, well, you're sending way too many emails. Like, no, not if you do it right.
Right.
Right. You can send an email a day if it's adding value and they don't unsubscribe.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily doing that, but the idea is that we're adding value to their inbox. We're showing wins. We're not always asking things. Sometimes we'll go into an interview campaign and we won't ask a single thing, right? We're just adding value. And people are like, well, then how do you get it? I'm like, they see it. Right.
Yeah.
They're seeing the wins and the results, and then they're coming back going, great, I want to be a part of what you're doing.
Calling all nonprofit pros. Do you enjoy learning at your own pace? What about building your resume with certificates to showcase your talents? Nonprofit Hub's library of courses is the perfect place to strengthen your nonprofit skills and take your organization to the next level. You can elevate your impact with handcrafted courses designed exclusively for nonprofit pros like you. Learn to navigate grant writing like a pro. Master digital marketing and social media to amplify your cause. Build a board of directors who actually gets it. Get the scoop on nonprofit finance and more. Don't just make a difference, make the difference. Visit nonprofithub.org/courses to see the full list of on-demand courses and sign up for a course today. That's nonprofithub.org/courses. Now let's get back to today's show.
I keep referencing like Cause Camp sessions, but I just like really loved,
yeah,
both. There was two on marketing, one on digital marketing and one on strategy and prioritizing and planning. And Lindsay Lachelle always says only bad marketing is overhead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ben Smithy said, no one hates advertising. We hate bad advertising, because he's like, I'm just going to tell you that they would hate having a solution to a problem that they want to see solved delivered to their inbox.
Right.
Like, no one would actually hate that, right? Like, we hate
right.
it. It's like trying to sell me like a baby bottle and I don't even have a baby.
Right. That's a good point. Good point.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's bad advertising that we don't like.
Awesome.
But you kind of mentioned like a success story with like the donors that came through this email campaign. Is there any other success story that you can think about that significantly improved its donor acquisition or retention, either with your assistance or just a story that you know about? And what are some kind of key takeaways from that experience?
No, that's good. The one I'm really harping on right now, I'll just do a selfish plug. We launched our own nonprofit last year. So our company launched a nonprofit last year called Vehicle for Good.
Okay.
And it is a public charity sweepstakes where we're giving away vehicles to the nation, right? Someone in the nation is going to win. And then the money that's being raised gets given to a nonprofit. The reason I'm sharing this is because we're seeing there's two sides. There are people that are just coming in and they just want a chance to win something, right? It's like it's like the person that goes and gets the lottery ticket.
Yeah.
They just want a chance to win. They also just feel good about giving back to a nonprofit. So they don't even care necessarily what the nonprofit is. They just have this feeling of, okay, I feel good about this. And then there's the other side of people that now are meeting nonprofits through this that never would have saw them otherwise, because there's some big opportunity to win. And then we're helping that story come across where they're gaining, I think it was like 8% on the first one we did last year, that wanted to be a part of that nonprofit, right? Wanted to ongoing communication, wanted to start donating. And I say 8%, I mean, we had almost 4,000 people enter on that first car, right? So I would say that was decent for an amount that we raised money. We raised $100,000, right?
Yeah.
For a nonprofit. And then we got to give them 8% of that base to go, these are people that really want to be a part of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the non-traditional ways we're trying. My goal is maybe the next 10 years to have 4 or 5 things like that are not necessarily sweepstakes, but something that's just non-traditional in ways to fundraise as a funding source, right? So we're bringing in nonprofits, we're helping them, they're paying us. And then I got these other funding sources that are like, hey, try this, go try this, as ways to bring in money.
That's very cool. I mean, we get asked for content like that all the time as a media platform that continues to try to deliver education, like any creative idea, you know, and that's just like fun. Getting to be creative is just fun. You know, like, we have talked about making sure that you're doing like the traditional pillars of fundraising, like you need to continue to do those. But I think sometimes like along with like the burnout and like the monotony of just being on this like constant like treadmill of fundraising, that like those like fun new things is just a way to just like inspire your day.
I agree. And it's also, I think it's also meeting a need where what we're doing with those funding sources, the nonprofit didn't have to be involved at all. Mm-hmm. They don't even, we actually do not use their list or any of their database to build, right? We're not actually reaching out because they should get money directly from them because they're already doing it, right? But we've built another source. They're like, great, we're going to go do this. You don't even have to do anything. We've already got the machine running. Our current one we're in right now, our goal is $300,000 by the end of this year to raise for this truck that we're giving away. We will have to spend $100,000 of it for the spend and the car and all those things. Right. But we're hoping to cut a check for $200,000 to this nonprofit that's involved, and they don't have to do anything, right? It's just part, and it's fun for us. I'm like, man, I'm giving away more money than I've ever given away before.
Yeah.
But then also I'm helping find new ways to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Okay. So let's kind of answer this question that we've been like bringing along this whole episode. How would you maybe advise or like explain to nonprofits how to balance the essentials and basics of donor stewardship with the pursuit of these creative fundraising ideas?
Yeah, I would, let's see, I would go and back.
I think what you kind of, and like, just to say too, I mean, you kind of answered that question in a way, because one of the things that you can do to make sure that you're doing these essential and basic things is, like you said, the automation.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. So one of the, I mean, I can't remember what book I read a while back that was, even with my own tasks, right? I ask myself if I'm going to delegate this, if I'm going to automate it, and then do I have to get it done today? Right. That's kind of always my process.
I know what you're, I like have definitely.
Yeah. I cannot tell you. I'm sorry, whoever did this, cause it was impactful to me. We'll find it later and put it in there. But, I do this almost every task, right? But I think that's a good way to also present. It's okay. Can I delegate this to someone else on my team? Could I delegate this to a volunteer? Could I delegate this to a board member? Could I delegate this to another donor, right? Is this something that they'd be willing to be a part of what we're doing? Great. If you can't do that, can I automate this? Is there a system that I can build that would help me then replicate this over and over again? It helps save me some time. You know, maybe if you spend 6 hours on something that now you don't have to do ever again, and you'll save that 20 minutes a week, every week. We do a lot of automations on our end because we're literally just solving little problems. Oh, let us just figure out, once they make this donation, we'll set up this automation for you to trigger when you should send a letter and when you should, you know, like all these little things to keep you on task, right? Because there's that one man show that we always work with. Then do I have to get it done today? Right. I think that's still an important, like, does this have to, what's more important today? Right. What's the biggest thing? Is it that, what's that, eat the frog first, right? You just consume that. Like, what's the biggest thing I need to get done? They do that first. Do the most uncomfortable thing today. At the start of our book, we talk about, you know, what are the 3 things that you don't want to do the most? Is it going to the dentist today, doing your taxes, or making calls for fundraising? You know, we know it's number 3, right? Like, you'd rather do the other things than do that. So with that in mind, what are some ways that you can go, okay, I just need, that's what I need to do today. And just find one person today I'm going to reach out to, or whatever that might be, right? That's just an example. But I think to your point, yes, there are some really great traditional ways that fundraising have been done and will probably never go away. That's great. How can we then add to that to expand on, excel? I do think automation's key. I do think inviting those donors to be a part of something. My life motto is I'm always one person away from changing the course of my future, right? So you could use that too. And like, okay, I literally could meet one person that's been a donor after making 100 calls that they get super excited about it. And their company of 100 employees put on a monthly thing that are giving back to what we're doing or are part of coming in person or whatever it might be. I just think we need to try to remove ourselves from thinking this is how it should go and then allow it to be, oh, this has just evolved into something that I never thought it would be. Right. Yeah. And allow that to can then just turn into something like, you know what? What if there's someone out there that wants to take over your nonprofit and they're better than you are at it? Are you willing to give it away because it'll make a bigger impact? Right. What if, like, there's so many different ways you could rethink. And I think, oh man, it's my baby, it's my thing. How, you know, security or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but you're making an impact somewhere. And I'm sure if you meet the right person, it could go even further.
Yeah. That's really all well said. I love the delegate. Automate.
Yeah. Does it have to get done right now? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. That's that kind of reminds me of, I'm a fan of the Minimalist podcast. Mm. And you said you should have a today list and a Sunday list.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm almost 100% certain that you will trash that Sunday list. So if it's not, it's just like, don't even worry about it. And I was like, so true.
I move things every day to the next day.
Yeah. The next day.
And then I get to it and I move it again. And after I see it 4 or 5 times, I'm like, just delete that thing. We're not doing it, you know?
Yeah. He's eventually like, it's obviously not something right. that needs to get done. Like, you don't need to have it on your to-do list.
Yep.
Clean up that clutter. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Well, this has been really great. How can listeners find you and learn more about Quirk Growth?
That's awesome. I appreciate you willing to even promote what we're doing. Quirk Growth, Quirk Growth.com. Website, we're on social media, everything the same, Quirk Growth. We actually have a book that we came out with this year called Lasting Donor Locator. I think it speaks to a lot of what we already talked about today. And really trying to identify the right type of donors. We actually walk you through what we do with clients already in the book. We just give you the steps, have you write it out to help find that lasting donor so that you can go communicate to them and more convert more fundraising. But we would love to give this book to your audience for 50% off. So we could throw in a promo code, Nonprofit Hub. And hey, if you hear this a year later, go try it, baby. It's still running. And go get a book for half off. And then in that, we have a lot of free resources you can download. So there's a lot of things that from there you can grab. And we love to try to give as much as we can away first, because there's a lot of groups that we work with that are smaller, can't always afford what we're doing, but they can start taking things to build some traction before they kind of sit down with us to figure out how we can help them.
Yeah. Share as quickly as you learn. I think that's what you guys
have. Yeah, that's awesome. That's great.
Well, thank you so much for that. We'll make sure that we put that code for 50% off of that Lasting Donor Locator book in the podcast notes. James, we always try to include a segment at the end called Good News for Nonprofits. What is something that you would like to share with the sector today?
I think I saw that and I all I could think about was good news. Okay, you have to bear with me. I come from a church background. Okay, so the good news to me is Jesus and the gospel. But I think I can relate that to anything that you're doing in the way that just do good, right? Just go after the good and everything else will be taken care of. I think a lot of times we get so concerned and worried about how we're going to fund this, how we're going to take care of this, how we're going to do this. And we spend so much time and energy on that piece that we lose the sight of the good that we're already doing. So when I saw that, I was like, good news, man, like, just focus on the good you're already doing and allow the other things to fall into place. I think I really truly believe that if you constantly go after that good, that all else will be added to you. So,
yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure having you on. We'll say au revoir to our listeners and we'll talk to you guys on the next episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast episode. For more resources on fundraising, marketing, and all things nonprofit, be sure to check out the number one nonprofit toolbox at nonprofithub.org. We hope you'll join us next week for another episode of the Nonprofit Hub Radio Podcast.